service here, so we're going to do two songs back to back. So y'all get your breath. The next song we're going to do, well, first of all, I'm going to ask, I have a few people that are going to come up and help me now. Ryder, Hudson, Charlie, where are y'all? Come on up here. Adeline, Rylan. This is going to be kind of peppy. Ryder, you get, y'all get up here where you can be seen now. Don't everybody be trying to hide behind each other. Yeah, Rylan, you get on the back. You and Adeline kind of scoot back just a little bit. Let's see. I sprung this on them this morning right after Sunday school, so they're... Hudson, you just sitting right here.
Sprung it on me, too.
Okay, well...
Yeah, I walked in the nursery.
No, this is...
And they were all in line, and my mom had them.
I the door. No, the song I chose for this is Victory in Jesus.
Okay, I got the right one then.
Well, thank goodness for that. Victory in Jesus. We've done it before. It's a very, peppy version of it, kind of a country version, I guess you would say. But, and before when we did a little bit of motions to it. I don't know a lot of sign language. In fact, what you see today is all that I know. And so y'all gonna do it too. So y'all pay attention. Every time we say the word Jesus, y'all know this, y'all probably all know this. Y'all probably know more sign language than I do. And then victory is fingers in a V, everything else closed together, and then we're just going to go up like this when we say victory, okay? All right, y'all got it? Yep, okay, don't be afraid of it. Y'all, come on, we're going to do it. Okay, I'm going to be doing it with you. Okay, Jeff, go ahead.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood.
church dismissed now? Okay. All right. Thank y'all.
Sort of good once in a while to get out of routine, isn't it?
Amen.
And it worked. Thank you, Rita. It's my honor and my privilege to stand here at this time and tell you that I am unable to describe the gratitude that I have for this speaker that has come today. Back some 13 years ago, our paths crossed. I was serving his home church, his family's home church, and had no idea where God was going to take us. I don't know that any of us know that, but when it happens, it happens, and it's continually to happen in a way that just I can't describe it. Pastor asked me to speak with Robert Britt and ask him to come and speak, and this took place some time ago, and the way things have happened, it never did work out, and it worked out this time, and I'm so grateful for that. Robert and I, along with his family, serve at West Allen Christian Ministry. Robert is the director there, and he's been there now for almost 12 years. And I was going to say more than a decade. Time sure does go by very quickly. His family is here with him, portion of family here. He has more than this. Wendy, his wife, is here. Naomi, his daughter, Jackson and Zane, two sons here. And I thank you for filling a pew up this morning. I'm very grateful for what God has done in the lives of so many people through your service, Robert and Wendy, Naomi, Jackson and Zane. It's a family affair. It really is. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Stanfield and been to the ministry there. Let me just see a show of hands. If you've been to the ministry, to the thrift store, raise your hand. And for those who didn't raise your hand, why haven't you?
I can't find a hard place.
We're working on that, right, Robert? But God is really growing the ministry, and I've asked Robert if he would come and share with us. God has opened up so many doors at the ministry and touched so many lives through that. So, Rob, if you would come and share with us at this time, please.
Thank you, Lionel. It is a pleasure to be with Barbie's Grove. You guys turn out some of the best barbecue over here whenever you set your minds to it. So I kind of feel like I'm at home, been here a handful of times. Not necessarily to speak, although I think I spoke on a Easter or Sunday before Easter some years ago. For everybody that just found out that I've been friends with Lionel Hahn for 13 years, would you please, one, pray for me, and two, don't hold it against me. So I'm joking. I love you, Lionel, and we have a good time. And I don't know who Janice was. Who's Janice that they were picking on about her birthday? Right here. Miss Janice, you have a lot of grace, I can tell you. Tell you that for sure. There was a stat that I heard, a scientific study that was done about weight loss, and what they said was that women that carry a few pounds tend to live longer than the men who mention it. So I'm going to be praying for your husband. Lionel, would you be willing to help me today? Would you be willing to stand up at the easel for me? Thank you again for having me. And if y'all don't mind, can I just open with a word of prayer? So, Father, right now we come to you in the name of Jesus. We give you glory and honor for all that you do in our lives, Lord. I thank you for the privilege to be able to gather in a country, God, where we can worship you freely. And we do pray for our nation and the direction that it's headed, Father. We want to bring you glory and we want to bring you honor. And so help your church, God, do what we're supposed to do in times like these and just represent you well. I pray for wisdom today as we communicate with each other. I pray, God, that this would not be a church service, Father, but it would be a celebration, a way to bring glory and honor to you, a family reunion of sorts as the children of God gather around with their Father as their main focus. And so we honor you, we praise you, I thank you for Barbie's Grove, for the legacy that you have shown off, Lord, your greatness to this community through this church in so many different ways. And so, Father, we just ask for, God, just for you to be blessed today. I thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Lionel mentioned I've been at the ministry. I'm the director there. Do you want me to turn this on, Jeff, or just if I walk away from the podium? Okay. I kind of have to talk and walk and things like that, so y'all forgive me if I get a little pacing. I do appreciate y'all being here. I've been at the ministry, as Lionel said, for about 12 years, and I can tell you it has radically changed my life. Like, I didn't know what I didn't know I didn't know 12 years ago that God has taught me in the 12 years that I've been there. Couldn't do anything without church support, like Barbie's Grove. Couldn't do anything without the staff that we have over at the ministry. And so currently we have a little over 30 people employed. A few of those are full-timers, and what they do is they orchestrate and manage a bevy of part-time people, of college students, high school students, people that are, you know, single moms that just want a couple of days a week to work. And so the core of our staff is a handful of full-time people, and the extended staff is a small army of part-timers, and then an even larger army of volunteers that come and help us move the kingdom of God forward at the ministry. I don't know if I saw the show of hands of people that kind of know where we're at and all, and I'm going to walk through some of the things that we do today. And I hope by the end of the day you're encouraged. I hope you have new fire in your belly to serve the Lord in whatever capacity he's called you to. I can tell you this, as long as you have a pulse, God has a purpose, that when you are finished with your time on earth, that's when the mission ends. And I'm learning that more and more every day. So there's not a person in this building that doesn't have a place where God's calling them to serve the King of Kings. And so the ministry was actually started, a lot of people don't know this, but the ministry was actually started in like 1996. And it was as a result of a house fire that happened, I believe, over in Stanfield. And the community looked around and said, we don't have anything to offer these folks. And so a handful of ladies from different churches and different denominations, they were kind of friends, they had gone to high school together, they knew each other in the community, kids played ball together, that kind of stuff. They got together and they said, we should do something. And they did. And West Stanley Christian Ministry started as a yard sale. And currently, you know, you've seen it over there in Stanfield. We have our main building that you guys are pretty familiar with, I would imagine. That's the old Allison Manufacturing Plant that's there in Stanfield, the old textile mill. And then we also have the little coffee shop space that's there beside the post office where we do. So we call the kind of the main building is where we do our physical crisis assistance things. So food and clothes and those kinds of things that we're going to talk about here in a minute. The coffee shop space is where we do more, I would call it, educational crisis assistance. And so we have some classes that we offer. Again, we'll talk about those here in a few minutes. And they happen there. We also purchased the old mill that's across the street from the ministry, and that's going to be used for more along the lines of like spiritual crisis assistance. So think Bible studies, small groups, parenting classes, things like that. And then you guys are the first time I've been able to share this publicly. About 2 weeks ago, we've been in conversations for about 8 months, but about 2 weeks ago, we finished up the River Church building that is at the end of Barbie Grove Church Road where 138 hits. That church felt led to be drawn back into a house church model for them and their body, and they said, we want to give this piece of property to somebody that we know that's going to be able to use it to further the kingdom of God in this community. And so about 2 weeks ago, we closed on that building, and I'll share a little bit what the plans are there too. We didn't see that one coming at all, and so we're excited. We're excited about what God's doing. We're excited about the growth. And I thought I would read one passage of scripture that kind of sums up what we do and why we do it. It's a pretty familiar passage. It comes from Matthew chapter 25. And it says this, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. This is Jesus speaking. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And Jesus says, and the king will answer, I say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did for the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it for me. So our goal at the ministry is just to try to meet people where they are and respond to the way God would have us respond. So I thought what I would take here for just a minute, what I would do, is spend a few minutes talking about what we do at the ministry. Because honestly, this week I'm not a public speaker, and so it's challenging for me to come and do these kinds of things. But I sat down with one of my leadership team, one of my guys there at the ministry, and I said, hey, help me get on paper everything we do, because sometimes I forget. And so I had the easel up here, and Lionel, if you would, kind of come up. And I want you guys to tell me what you know that we do. And I may stop and pause and talk about a couple of these things. And then anything that's missed, I want to cover. So I'm going to kind of check off on my list up here what you're aware of that we do, and then share about some of it. I will say this, and I hope I don't bore you. I hope I don't lull you to sleep. But just about every ministry that we do, and you're going to know some of them, but just about everything that we do, especially that's been added in the 12 years that I've been at the ministry, it's not just us jockeying to see how... We're not trying to pat ourselves on the back. Does that make sense? We're not trying to jockey around to just see how much we can possibly do. Almost every single thing that we do is tied to a person we've come in contact with who had legitimate obstacles in their lives that were hindering them from what God's plan for their life was. And so we looked and one of my ministerial theories is this, is that our job as believers, it's not to fix people. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's not to save people. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's not even to call people, because Jesus said no one comes to the Father except that those that he draws. And so the Father calls, the Father saves, the Father's the Messiah. But what we are able to do is look at people's lives and see, and I'm talking about not just the Christian ministries, I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about us. When I say us, I'm talking about y'all. So welcome to the show. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to look at individuals and where we see legitimate obstacles that would hinder them from God's plan for their lives, then we need to do everything we can to try to do to remove those obstacles, so the only thing standing between that person and God's plan for them is their willingness to join him in that endeavor. Does that make sense? So when you hear us start listing things off, it's close to 30 things that we're about to walk through. When you hear us start listing them off, it's not so West Stanley Christian Ministries gets all this glory. It's because we met somebody who this ministry would have benefited in their walk with Christ and stepping into his plan for their life. And so this thing was birthed. So I may stop and talk about a couple of them and the way we got there as we go. So now it's on you. Can somebody tell me something that we do at Christian Ministries? Ma'am? Food. Lionel? So I'll take just a minute to tell you that is one of our plans for the River Church building, to be able to reach deeper into this county, back towards Aquadale, back to the Oakborough area proper. We have a huge geographical area that we serve. I'd love to tell you it's all of Stanley County. It's not technically, although we're working through some things because some other ministries have made some decisions, and so we're having to adjust kind of on the fly. But roughly our service area is the Agra Civic Center back towards the West Stanley community. But then because we sit right there on the Union and Cabarrus County lines, we pick up like Midland area and then Fairview, New Salem, that area. So we're the only ministry that I'm aware of in the county that actually will step across county lines, because those folks, they're shopping in Locust, they're going to church in the West Stanley community. They truly are part of West Stanley, even though technically they're right across the county line. And so food, and you can put food times two if you want to, Lionel, and you might need to write smaller than that as we go, but I'll let you decide. You can just work it in as we go. Okay. So food times two. What else do we do?
Take donations.
We take donations. I'm going to tack that to thrift store. Can we just put thrift store? Is that good? The thrift store makes up about 85 to 90% of our budget. We could run the Christian ministries without church support and without donor support just on the thrift store. What we can't do without church and donors, I'm talking about financial stuff now, what we can't do now is pay like your power bills, your rent assistance, your utility, the stuff that we do that we're going to talk about, the extended ministry stuff. But just the overhead, the salaries, the building, the power, the vehicles, all that, the ministry thrift store covers 100% of our overhead charges. So when your church gives to Christian ministries, just know that the money that you're sending from Barbie's Grove is going directly to our clients. It's not going to our offer. I don't know if that's healthy or not, because I think there's some engagement from the church body that needs to happen to help us deliver those services, but I'm proud to say right now we don't have to tap into it. So that's good. So thank you, Jeff, for that addition. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Clothes.
We help with clothes. That's exactly right. We have a clothing closet that we open up. Anything else? I've already mentioned one. Financial assistance. So you can put that up there, Lionel. Our thrift store is also able to respond when we have, it's not unusual for us to get a call from a parent or a grandmother that says, hey, you know, my daughter or granddaughter just went into addiction recovery and DSS just dropped three kids off on my porch and I don't have beds for them. I don't have a dresser for them. And so because of the size and the scope of our thrift store, we're able to respond to some of those, I would say, household needs too, including fires and things like that. But we see that scenario that I just described more often than we see fires. So those four things right there are what I kind of call, it's interesting that y'all came up with those first. But those things right there are what I call kind of our core four. Those are, and I'm not talking about a literal fire here, but a figurative fire. Those are the things that we do when there's a fire. These are the things we do to put a fire out. These are the things that we do to respond to a crisis, to try to minimize the crisis, and then move forward. So then we move into some programs and some ministries that we have that I would call fire prevention. And so does anybody know any of those? Say again?
Classes.
Do you know what kind of classes? Okay, that's good, because there's several. What do you write? Classes? So write HSE. So that stands for High School Equivalency. So I won't call any names, because somebody here might know some of these folks, but I had a young lady that walked in, and we try to build relationships with the people that we come in contact with. People don't really care what you know until they know you care. And so we want to engage. We want to, like, let them know we love them, that we pull for them, the whole, you know, everything that we care about with them. And I had a young lady that came in that had helped, you know, in different capacities, different ways. And she said, Robert, I need a new job. And again, like, I've got a pretty good relationship. So I do know Jesus, even though some of what I say may sound like a little, gosh, like that sound a little short. But I said, okay, well, go get another job then. And because I'm like, you know, you got to move. Jesus told the paralytic in John 5, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. You have to move. You have to take some engagement into your own life. And she said, well, I can't. And I said, why not? She said, because I don't have a high school diploma, and I can't get a better job without one. And I said, okay, well, then go get a high school diploma. And she said, I can't. And I said, why not? And she said, because the only time they offer that is during the day, and I have to work during the day while my kids are in school, and there's so much dysfunction around my family that there's nobody else that can watch my kids while I go get my high school diploma. And I said, well, call down to the college then and talk to the ladies down there and find out when they offer the classes with childcare. She said, they don't. I said, I'm going to call you out on that. I said, I'm going to make a phone call. Are you sure? She said, call. And so I called the college, and I went through Stanley Community College, and I went through the whole conversation that I just had with you guys, and they said, Mr. Britt, she's absolutely right. We have nothing. And I said, well, can we get together and talk about that then? And so the college came up, sat down in our offices with our team, and we put together a plan where we use that 211 space. That's the space beside the post office over there, Zach. We use that space to be able to offer high school equivalency classes. And when it's needed, we, the ministry, provides the child care for that. We pay staff or somebody to sit and watch kids so that single moms and dads can get their high school diplomas and be able to move forward with that. So that's the first kind of class we have. So I need to check these off or I'm going to miss them when I go back and start looking. We also have, Lionel, you can write down FPU. So FPU is Financial Peace University. That is Dave Ramsey, who teaches basically kingdom finances. He teaches you how you can stretch a dollar and get about $3 worth of work out of it. When we had that class, we had a husband and wife that were honestly, I thought headed towards divorce. He was having conversations with me that word was used, you know, more than once. And a lot of stress, a lot of things, more than just finances, but finances was part of it. About halfway through that class, the instructors of that class just asked for some testimonies, and this gentleman stood up, and he was kind of teary-eyed, and he said, I just want to tell you this. He said, my life's being changed by this. We've cut several hundred dollars out of our expenditures, and we're getting some money pulled back in. He said, but the most incredible thing that happened was two nights ago, my wife and I sat down and had a two-hour conversation about finances that didn't end with one of us wanting to kill the other. And so just seeing the marriage start to be healed and then their communication skills starting to come together, the kingdom of God advancing through something as simple as just a budgeting class. Anybody else got anything that they know about that we do? Thank you, ma'am, for the classes. That's probably not all of them, but we'll walk through here. I might need to step it up. Let me just help you, Lionel. You ready? So we have a program called JUMP. J-U-M-P, that stands for Jesus Utilizing Miraculous People. That is a vocation, that's a 90-day vocational training program we do for like the EC demographic, special needs, physically handicapped, mentally handicapped, that kind of thing. We have medical equipment that we have in our basement, so hospital beds, walkers, wheelchairs, I mean potty chairs, you name it. People get done with those. They bring. We don't sell a single piece. The only time I'll ever sell a piece of medical equipment is if somebody says, my son wants to be a 90-year-old dude for Halloween and I need a walker. Now, I'll get you to pay for that walker. But if a 90-year-old guy actually needs a walker, we're not charging for that. We get people from teenagers who've had knee surgery or torn ACLs to folks that are entering the end of their life and they need hospital beds and things like that. We just loan that stuff out. There's no charge. We do that. We have an internship that goes along with that JUMP program. So when those folks come out of that 90-day vocational training and they go to Food Lion and they go to restaurants, they go to Ace Hardware, they go to all these different places and they learn clerical and retail and grocery and restaurant, if we can't place them in a job, and we try to do that if we can, we actually bring them into the ministry and they work alongside our staff. Just continuing to grow and find value and worth. And so that is one of our ministries. I'm stepping it up because I'm going to run out of time if I don't, Lionel. We also have an internship. You can put LA intern. That's Living Again Interns. That is an internship that we do for up to a year, paid internship for any individual that, I shouldn't say any, for an individual that comes out of an addiction recovery program. What we've found out and again, like I told you, so many things that I've learned in 12 years, what we found out is if people, they'll go and they'll get healthy, they'll get well, they'll get their lives turned around, but then when they get to that place, if they go back to where they came from, they'll go back to what they came from. And so what we really did was design this. It's like, okay, this puts an extra set of hands in the ministry, yes, and that's great, but more than that, it puts people of God around this person that can begin to disciple them. And when they have a rough day, most of them live in sober living transitional houses. And so, you know, they have disagreements at their house. They have leadership over that organization. Sometimes they need to work through. And we just try to teach them how to follow Jesus day in and day out. I think that's what discipleship is. So we have that. We also have Bible studies that we offer to the community. You can put that up there, Lionel. We do some coordinating of service projects. So if somebody comes in and they say, hey, my grandmother needs a wheelchair ramp, we don't have the capacity to build those kinds of things. I wish we did. But what we do have is a great network of folks, including Barbie's Grove. And I've got pictures of Lionel and some others that had built a wheelchair ramp over in Red Cross for somebody. And that could be Red Cross Baptist. That could be New Life has done some stuff for us up in Locust. Mission Church has done some projects with us. And so if we can help make those connections, then we can do that to try to help folks. We do some addiction placement where somebody comes in, they're in active addiction. We know who they are. We know what they're going through. And they're willing to get some help. We can help get them to somewhere they need to be to get help in it. And we really try to work on, you know, Jesus' words where he says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? We feel that really in all of our ministries. And so when someone comes in and they want help from addiction recovery, we really want to try to point them to Jesus and try to find them a facility that just doesn't say, hey, if you try hard, you can fix this in yourself, but basically says, if you surrender to Jesus Christ, he can heal you of every affliction that you've got. And so it's important for us to try to place that way. We do, you don't even have to write all these down, Lionel. I think you've got a, I think the point's being made here. So let me just kind of fly through some of these. We do court-ordered community service. So somebody can stand in Stanley County courtroom, and a judge will say, you have to do community service, and they'll drop them right at the Christian ministry where they're going to get a dose load of Christian love, Christian truth, biblical wisdom, discipleship. And we've never had anybody, you know, come in that and say, this is too much Jesus, we want to leave. But we have had several people that said, when I'm done with my court-ordered time, I want to come back and volunteer. Do you guys have a church? I had one young lady who's living in a sinful lifestyle right now, but she came in and she had to do some court-ordered community service. And when I was walking by her one day, and I said, "Hey, I'm just really glad you're here." And she said, "Well, I'm glad to be here." She said, "You guys are special around here." And I said, "It's just Jesus." And she said, "I've never seen this Jesus before." And I stopped and I turned around. And I said, "Talk to me about that." And she said, "Well, you know, usually I feel like Christians are telling me what I shouldn't do, and you know, they're judging me and all that." And I said, "You know, well, first of all, we're glad you're here. Second of all, if there is something you need to repent of and change in your life, we're going to agree with the Lord on what he says. But at the end of the day, that's between you and him." But she felt peace. She felt hope. She felt life while she was in there doing community service. We do the Day of Giving. I think you guys have supported us more than once and more than a little bit, so thank you for that, which is our Christmas outreach program. And I could speak on Day of Giving just and fill the whole time. I'll just tell you, it's what we do to help folks. We send teens and kids. We send 1 week with teens, 1 week with Rising Third through Rising Six to a Christian summer camp. Down in Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, right out of the Greenville-Spartanburg area. Matter of fact, there's a busload of elementary school kids on the way back right now, and they're having struggles this morning. So y'all say a prayer for them, but they're on their way back. And that ministry got started. One, I had my own daughter had been down there and been impacted very much, but I also was meeting with one of the families that lives in a more challenging neighborhood close to the ministry. And I was talking to the daughter. She was probably 8, 9 years old at the time. She's a teenager now. And she was talking about how when the wind would blow outside their trailer, the curtains would move inside her room. And her dad is probably one of the most challenging people I've met in the 12 years I've been at Christian Ministries. I know God loves him, but I struggle too, if I'm just being honest. His practices are very, very not very healthy. She's got a brother that's kind of in that same vein. I think there's been a total of 4 or 5 different women that have come through that house that she referred to as mom every time they came through. Different mom, different mom, different mom. And so I started thinking about like my perspective on people and how broken it can be, because if your entire field of view, I don't know what that degree angle is that we can normally see, but it's maybe more than 180 degrees. But if your entire field of view is this thing's broken, that thing's broken, dad's broken, brother's broken, the house is broken, community's broken, neighborhood's broken, neighbor's broken. Like, it's all broken. Then all of a sudden, what you're looking at isn't broken. It's normal. Your field of view for what you think is normal, we would look at least some of us, I hope we would say, man, that's so dysfunctional. That's so messed up. Man, somebody needs to teach and train. And yet, there's nobody doing that. And so we said with the summer camp, like, what would happen if we could take these kids out of these environments, drop them into a place where they're getting no bed bugs in their bedding, 3 meals a day. We try to send husband and wife teams, or at least strong men and women of God that go with them, so they have something modeled that they've never seen. What would happen if we could do that, and do that for teenagers, and do that for elementary school? And it's been phenomenal. It's been amazing to see what that has produced, including the baptism of my own daughter, who came back 1 year and said, I realize I need to make some changes in my life. And so, you know, we I don't know if you've ever seen our video on YouTube, but we made one in 2019, and I'm talking, and there was a place in I was in prayer, and it was around that passage of scripture that I just read to you guys, and I was praying, like, Lord, help us love the least of these. Lord, help us serve the least of these. Lord, you know, help us feed the least of these. And it was like the Holy Spirit just stopped me right in my tracks. And he said this, hold on. Just exactly when do you think you stopped being one of the least of these? And I'm like, I need you as much as these people we're trying to serve, Lord. I need to be in relationship with you just as much as these people I'm trying to help. And so we just kind of adopted the whole community into our family. We're going to do a corporate gathering on Saturday nights down at the New River building. That'll be once a month. We'll talk more about that. We do holiday meals. I mean, I'm missing a ton. There's a ton of stuff here. But this is what I wanted to talk about, because I'm going to run out of time if I don't. I'm going to turn this on now, Jeff. This is what I want to tell you. Woo, that's hot. All of this and all that I just read and kind of went through, if you look at those lists, including summer camp for kids, there's not one thing that we do at Christian Ministries that lost people can't do. There's not one service that we offer. Lost people can feed people. Lost people can clothe people. Lost people can take kids to camp. Lost people can do anything that we do. You don't have to be a child of God to do any of this. And so Christian Ministries, for all of us, has very little to do with these things. These things are just, I can say it this way, Trojan horses for the gospel. So I want to read a passage of scripture. This is from Isaiah. And I just found this last night, was kind of reading through it, and I wanted to just read it to you guys. It's about fasting. And so God kind of describes the kind of fast that he honors. And I was just thinking about when I was coming to talk to you and what the Lord would have me say. And I wanted to read this because I think this is what we're called to as Christians, doing ministry. Because we all live in the West Stanley community, right? We're sitting here. We're all Christians. At least I hope that the people in this room are. And we're all called to ministry. So you guys are as much a part of West Stanley Christian Ministries as West Stanley Christian Ministries is. It's all of us working together to advance the kingdom. If Barbie's Grove shuttered those doors right there, there'd be a lot of people you guys have helped that wouldn't have gotten help if that would have happened. So this is what God says. I'm gonna fly. I'm going to try not to keep it too late, but I want to tell you two stories too, and they're going to take just a minute. This is what the Lord says. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. I was going to read more, but I'm going to cut a little bit short. So what lost people can't do is be what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 calls ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors of Christ.
When we as believers have said we surrender and Jesus invades our lives, now we are a walking temple of God. Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, what? As it is in heaven. And so when we're saved, when we come into relationship with the Holy Spirit, there is a deposit of the heavenly in the person of the Holy Spirit that is put inside of you. And so now, everywhere you go, Zack Snyder, everywhere you go, Janice, everywhere you go, folks, heaven goes with you. And Jesus, not Jesus, but in the Bible it says, Paul says, don't you know that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead resides in you? Now, how you look like Jesus everywhere you go, the way I look like Jesus where I go is very different than the way Zach would have to look like Jesus everywhere he goes. It's very different than the way you would look like Jesus in a school or as you serve at your church council next Sunday. But what you have to say is, if Jesus were me today, what would he do? How would he act? And how would I respond? Like, what would he want to accomplish if he had full control over me today? And that's where we're going. That's what we want to. That's what West Stanley Christian Ministries exists for. Because anybody can do that. DSS that don't give a rat's tail about anybody's soul is doing that every day. And they don't care where people spend eternity. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the system. There are saved people in DSS. But the system doesn't care. The system says we have a job. Throw them a can of food. Can of food is thrown. All good. Next. But that's not Jesus' model. Jesus' model is leave the 99 for the one and actually engage with that one. You can't do that if you haven't received the love of God, because you can't give away what you haven't taken ownership of. I can't give you something I don't have. So I have to receive and then give it away. So two stories real quick, and I promise I won't keep you too long. You got my picture up there? The one, the side-by-side, the mug shots. Yeah. This is one of my very best friends. Zach, you would have known him back in the day. Maybe you do, I don't know. Made some really bad decisions. The devil wanted him dead, and he was headed that way. He wound up in Cabarrus County. One of those is a Cabarrus County picture. I think it's the one on the left. And we spent 6 months in jail. He got out of jail, and within 12 hours of getting out of jail, overdosed. Woke up in Stanley Memorial with somebody on his chest doing CPR. And he realized, and there's like, this is a whole nother sermon, because the stories around this and the way the Lord's been working on this for years is just crazy. I won't go into it. But anyway, he came to me and we started talking. He was actually in a psych ward. He wound up because he had taken drugs into the hospital. And when they find drugs on you in the hospital, they'll kick you out. And he said, he tells the story now. He said, Robert, I know if I would have left that night, I would not be here today. And so when they found the drugs, I just told them I was going to kill myself. And so they moved me to the psych ward, and I knew I had a week at least there. That's where I connected. And so after several conversations, next picture, Jeff. He already looks a little bit better here because he'd spent 6 months in jail, and so you get healthier when you're in jail. And so he had put on some weight, but Lionel and I picked him up this morning that this picture was taken on, and we took him to Princeton, West Virginia, to Adult and Teen Challenge, where they don't even like calling an addiction recovery. They call it intensive discipleship training, because what most truly transformed addicts will tell you is, I didn't have an addiction problem, I had a sin problem. And I didn't need to try to do it on my own, I needed to give it to Jesus and let him do what we needed to do. And so he spent a year up there on their program, did so well. He did a year as a paid intern up there, did so well. He did a year as a paid staff. And back a few months ago, he got into a relationship with a girl in Albemarle and wanted to move forward. And he said, I think it's time for me to come out of Teen Challenge. And I'm going to come back to Stanley County, and would you be willing to hire me at the ministry? And this is who I need working for the ministry, because he speaks the language of so many people that I come in contact with. And last Sunday, I stood in a field in Mount Pleasant, Jeff, if you don't mind, and married him and his wife. In the name of Jesus, with Christ at the center of their lives, a life has been changed. That's what lost people can't do. In fact, that's not even what we can do. That's only what people surrender to the power of God can do. And so that's Marcus. So y'all pray for Marcus and Autumn. And then I'm going to tell you this one last story, because I hope this encourages you. This is a old rusty top baby food jar with a plastic flower in some water. So about 7 years ago, I had a guy named Dennis walk into my office, and he needed food. I'd never met Dennis before. And Dennis was in his early 60s, came to find out, not on the first day that I talked to him, but came to find out, drinks more than he should, and drinks more than he wants to. So when we talk to folks, when we engage with them, I'm always trying to get the bare bones. Where do you live? What's going on? You know, do you have a job? These kinds of things. But what I'm really trying to do, I'm talking to them and listening, trust me, but I'm also talking to God and trying to listen. And I'm saying things to the Lord, like, what do you want to say, Lord? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do in this moment? And with Dennis, I would ask a question. How long have you lived in the area? About 3 years. Got any kids? Nah. Got a job? Nah. I mean, there was no engagement at all. And so I got to the end of kind of gathering the information, and I was just like, you know what, Lord? I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to let you just work it out. And I said, Dennis, can I just ask you a question? What do you think God's trying to do in your life? And he responded with this. He said, listen, buddy. Now, anytime somebody starts a sentence off like that, it's generally not going to be very good. He said, listen, buddy, I don't believe in heaven, I don't believe in hell, and I don't believe in the God you're about to tell me about. And I said, okay. All right. And then I said this. I said, thank you. He said, why are you thanking me? I said, because everybody else comes in here and just blows smoke at me. They tell me what they think I want to hear. And so I admire you for your honesty. And I don't know what you've been through, but I don't agree with your assessment on heaven, hell, and the God I'm about to tell you about. I said, but I'll tell you this. The God you don't believe in is the one that's sending you home with a box of food today. The God that you don't believe in, he's the one that's coming to your rescue in this time of need. And do you know what he said? He said the most profound thing after that. He said this. He said, well, maybe. So he had gone from, I don't believe in your God, to maybe it is him who's sending me home with this. And he said, Robert, I'll tell you this. He said, this is the way I figured. He said, I figured after the second time I got out of jail that if there was a God, he'd be done with me by now. And so I just don't believe there is one. And so that's it. And I said, Dennis, have you ever killed a Christian? He said, what? I said, have you ever killed somebody? Have you ever beat somebody up? Have you ever, like, you know, accosted somebody for being a Christian? And he said, no. And I said, because there was a guy that did that, and God changed his heart, and he wound up writing about 3/4 of the New Testament. And so if you haven't gone any farther than Paul, you probably haven't gone too far. And do you know Dennis let us start picking him up and bringing him to our Saturday night services? And I'd love to tell you that I am confident that Dennis is saved today, that Dennis is going to spend eternity in heaven. I'm not confident. He might be. I'm not confident, but I can tell you this. He will stand before the Lord without an excuse. He has heard the truth. He has had every opportunity. And he came into me after that conversation. He's made me a couple of, like, hand-carved walking sticks and brought them. If you come to my office, which is looks like a utility storage room, but don't judge me. But there's a bucket in the corner that's got some walking sticks in it, and two of them Dennis made me. You know, he's at home, he's on disability, he's got bad health, and he would bring him in here and say, I made this for you. And remember, Dennis is, I would say, late 50s, early 60s, and he came in one day, and this is for you, Barbies Grove. He came in one day, and he said, I want to give you something. And I said, okay, what is it? He said, I want to give you this right here. And so he gave me this thing, and I'm like, Okay, y'all know how much stuff we sort through at the ministry. This is the stuff that would go in the trash. And I said, well, where did this come from? He said, well, I haven't been to church too many times in my life. This is a true story, y'all. I'm not making this up. He said, I haven't been to church too many times in my life. But when I was 5, my mama took me to some little small church in the country. And I sat down in a Sunday school class. And we made this. Now, he couldn't remember what the teaching was. It might have been on living water. It might have been, hey, if the Lord closed the flower in the field, then you don't have to worry. But this is what's profound to me. Is that probably some teacher in the 60s, it had to have been in the early to mid 60s, said, I don't know what we're going to do for Sunday school today to teach these kids this lesson. Let's just take a goofy little baby food bottle. Let's put a plastic flower in it and fill it with water. And some 5-year-old boy went home with that. And he carried it for 55 years. Through prison, through incarceration, and through addiction. This thing right here had some value that he could tie back to. I was in church one day and we made this. So you talked about your vacation Bible school, you know, 52 people, and you probably counted adults in that. And so sometimes you can look at something like that and you're like, yeah, that's good, but man, it would have been nice to have more kids. Stop. Just stop thinking that way. If your heart posture is, I want to serve the Lord and be found faithful with what he's got in front of me, then it does not matter whether there's 150 kids on this piece of property or one kid headed for prison. What matters is, are you going to be found faithful in the moment to represent Jesus well? So be encouraged, because this goofy little thing mattered. And the goofy little things that we do, it's like, oh yeah, we're going to give them a bookmark. We're going to give them a coloring book. Trust me, those things produce fruit, because Jesus doesn't touch anything that new life doesn't come on it. Paul would send out handkerchiefs and people would get healed. His shadow would fall across people and they would get healed. And it's the same God, y'all. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's not that was old school Christianity and this is new school Christianity. We've just forgotten where we came from. And so we need to be reminded. And so I'm just here to remind you, it ain't over. I don't care if I had a guy we went to church with at Philadelphia over in Stanfield for a while. His name was Rodney Morton, and he was confined to a wheelchair most of his life. He had gotten hurt in a drunk driving accident, and he was in a wheelchair. And I remember Rodney told me that I had to be put in a wheelchair so God could teach me how to walk with him. That's what he would say. It was a spiritual comment. But Rodney would take a pencil in his mouth and type out cards to our church body and find a way with his hands that didn't work to fold them up and put them in an envelope and get a stamp on them and send them out. And Rodney's card ministry produced much fruit for the kingdom of God. And it's different than Billy Graham or Lionel Hahn or Robert Britt over at Christian Ministries. It's different, but it's not. And there is no such thing as insignificant work for Christ. That doesn't belong in the same sentence. So thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me talk a little bit about what we do. I did not get everything covered that we do. If you want to know more, come volunteer. Come hang out. We'll find a place to plug you in and pray for us and be a part of us. We couldn't do it without you. Good? Can I pray and then I'll let you close, Lionel? Is that all right? Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord, and we just thank you for what an amazing God can do with incredibly broken vessels. That you can pick up things that are fractured and that are wounded and that are hurt, and you can literally advance your kingdom into communities when you invade that space. And so, Father, I just want to ask you to continue to help us, all of us, Lord, surrender to your will and surrender to your way. That each one of us has a call on our lives. You didn't save us to get us into heaven. You saved us to get heaven into us. And so help us be reminded of that, Father, and that everywhere we go, we would realize that we are, when we put our foot there, God, it's It's like an army invading a beach, and we can run the flag of heaven down into every situation and circumstance that we go to. And it wouldn't be West Stanley Christian Ministries or Barbers Grove Baptist Church. It would just be the body of Christ empowered by their Father. One faith, one baptism, one God, one kingdom. I thank you for this time. I pray blessings on this group of believers, and that you would show yourself strong here, Father. I just lift all this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you all for being here. I know we've run over a little bit. I don't care. There's a lot more could be said, but Robert, you said it so well. Thank you. Thank you for blessing us today. Robert has prayed for us, so if you would, let's just please stand. I'll have a closing prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this time you've given us, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your servant, Robert. We thank you for his family. We thank you so much, Father, for your love. Now, Father, as we depart, let us take what we've heard. Let us be those feet and the hands. And help us, Father, in each and every way to serve others with the opportunities that you give us each and every day. In your Son's name we pray, and we all say, Amen.